Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's where you get the Tasmanian racing edge. Now on Carnival, welcome to Tas Racing Talk. Here's Shane Yates.
Hello and welcome to Tas Racing Talk. Today on the show, we'll speak with Kevin Nielsen, the co-development manager for Harness Racing in Tasmania, Rowan Hillier, the man who piloted Birinya to victory in the Victorian Oaks last week, and Jamie Cockshutt, the Harness Racing Tasmania form analyst, who will have a look at the meetings coming up over the weekend. Simon Stout, the co-development manager for Thoroughbred Racing in Tasmania, journalist for Tas Racing Peter Staples will look at Sunday's 8-event card in Hobart, Greg Fay will look back at the week's Greyhound highlights, including a new track record at Devonport, and Rick Puccinelli will find us all the winners for the upcoming meetings for the week, including the finals of the Country Oaks and the Country Derby on Tuesday at Devonport. So be sure to stay with us.
Tas Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
Time for Greyhound action now on Tas Racing Talk as we welcome in Greg Fay. How are you, Greg?
I'm good, thanks, Shane.
Well, another exciting week of Greyhound racing around the state. Devonport on Tuesday, the undoubted highlight, heats of the Country Oaks, the Country Derby, and as if that wasn't enough, a new track record.
Yes. Look, the record has stood for about 14 years. I didn't think there was a snowflake's chance of it ever being broken, and it's only because the new Devonport track is so super, super quick over the last 6 months. But the one good thing is, the record has gone to a great dog. Sing the Song. It's been the best bitch in Tasmania for some time now. Robin and Bobby Grubb have a wonderful litter here. She made the Hobart 1000 final. She's gone close to the record in Hobart before, and she jumped pretty much to the front, won by a long space, and 25.01 didn't just break it, it obliterated it by a good 1100ths.
Now, Bobby's great run as a trainer and a breeder and an owner has come late in his career, but what a thrill it must be for him at this stage.
Yeah, absolutely. He had that wonderful litter a couple of years ago, which included, you know, Pedro Pronto and Fisherman Stylish Montier, and the bitch out of that litter became the mother of this litter. And, you know, Sing the Song's obviously carried the flag, but, you know, several other good dogs in the litter. You know, Kiss Me Elvis, his career got cut short early, but several of the other bitches out of this litter have reached, you know, top grade, and you know, but this bitch is in a class of her own, and yeah, it's good to see her. You know, she's nowhere near finished her career, but she'll certainly have a big highlight having taken the record off Lily Pilly Lad.
Now, she's won 10 of 22 on the track. She's won 16 of 41 in her career. Her best winning time going into last Tuesday's run was 25.37, which she set just a month ago. So she's in career best form. And both those wins have come from inside boxes, which is a little bit of a surprise, Greg.
It is a surprise because she's definitely a centre-to-wide runner. And I don't think there's any doubt in the world she's a better dog off box eight. But she did have an inside box with a vacant box one and a six-dog field on Tuesday, which meant that she had a totally unimpeded run. And, you know, once she gets to the lead, it wouldn't matter who was chasing her. And I mean, it wouldn't matter who. Out of all the good dogs in Tasmania, they're not going to run her down.
Now, the heats of the Country Oaks, another of the highlights on the program. In the first heat, well, it was taken out by Hard as Nails, despite the top-line form of runners coming into the race, Loving Lucy and Windburn Rush, the Breeders' Classic winner.
Yes, the Country Oaks heats were good but not great. The Country Derby heats were greater than great. Hard as Nails is just a really, really consistent, fast beginner. She got to the lead a couple of times. She looked like being challenged, but it never eventuated. And, you know, she was a pretty comfortable winner on the line. And she'd been a really good little money spinner for the owners and for trainer Anthony Bullock.
Now, in the second heat, Kawasaki Rose was sent out a short-priced favourite for the Devonport Cup, Australian Cup combination of Chris Nutt and Debbie Cannon.
Yes, and she was the star of the two heats because she would be in the top three or four bitches in Tasmania. It didn't go to plan because she normally leads or is very close to it. She actually got back to second last at one stage, so to come from back there and run down the early leader, Classic Nico, which, you know, she fought on pretty well. But as I said, the heats of that series weren't quite as strong as other years. But nevertheless, Kawasaki Rose will go in as a hot favourite in the final.
Well, the first heat of the Country Derby was a super field. We had Varco, the Launceston Cup winner. We had Winburn Wizard returning from victory in the launching pad. And we also had the Illingworth Classic winner, Callaway Ernie.
Yes, you wouldn't believe that a Country Derby heat at Devonport could have two Group 2 winners in it. Varco, the Launceston Cup, Winburn Wizard, the launching pad, and neither of them won, which shows just what a mighty crop of young dogs we've got in Tasmania at the moment. And there was absolutely no fluke to anything Callaway Ernie's done lately, because he's gone to a complete new level. His wins have come out of very, very ordinary boxes. He did that in the Illingworth Classic. He'd come out of box 7 here with Varco having the red. Varco fluffed the start and came from second last, so his run was still outstanding. But Callaway Ernie from box 7, he led every stride, won by 4 3/4, and he's 25.48. You know, it's an electric time. Varco was brave running second, and Great Taylor's held on really strongly to run third. But when you think that dogs like Bit Hot Henry, Winburn Wizard, Aroma Peche, he didn't run a place, what a field.
Yes, he just powered into that first corner and just kept on going strong to the post, which would have been a tremendous thrill for the 16 golfers that are the syndicate members and, of course, trained by the master himself, Butch Deverell.
Yes, well, that's where the Callaways come from, obviously. But Butch Deverell, look, for 40 years, and I don't exactly know how old Butch is, but he has had more than one good dog in his kennel the whole of that 40 years, and I don't think there's ever been a trainer, maybe Reg Ivory, that's had as many good dogs as Butch Deverell.
Now, from one extreme to the other, as in age-wise, and next time I see Butch, I'll have to divert, but Slasher's King, trained by young Patrick Ryan from Dilston, really showed its true colours on Tuesday.
Yeah, newcomer to Tasmania, Patrick, and he's been racing a few dogs lately, and most of them have been knocking on the door but not quite getting there. Slasher's King had very good form before he came here in New South Wales. Was in last week on a very wet and wild day and didn't get to perform up to his best. He was terrific because he jumped second, chased the early leader, Gemstone Jack. Barnes Bay missed the start, made a big swooping run around the field, and he was terrific as well. And the highly rated Groovy Lane was always in traffic and ended up running fourth. But no fluke whatsoever to Slasher's King's win. If he draws wide in that final, he'd be, you know, worthy of consideration.
So two tremendous finals coming up on Tuesday at Devonport, the Country Oaks and the Country Derby final. A couple of other big performances on the day too, Greg. Silly Lucy bounced back to winning form after that luckless run in Hobart.
Yes, she was certainly beaten running third to her sister, Silly Lily, which unfortunately had a bad, went amiss badly at Launceston on the Monday night, and I don't know if her career's over, Silly Lily, but Silly Lucy is the star of the two. Her win in 25.59, it's hard to win a juvenile these days, isn't it, when they're running 50s every week. Very, very impressive bitch, and she'll win lots and lots of races.
And Gary Johnson unearthed another smart one in race number two.
Yes, another dog that failed on the wet track the week before, but a lot of that form can go out the door, because this dog had good form in Victoria before he came here with two wins. Jumped straight to the lead off box 5, ran 25.34. I mean, these times are crazy, but he's a very, very impressive dog.
Zeno Slammer bolting in the second. Now, in the third, Shadow Hammer's been very consistent, and good to see it crack a win from box 8.
Yes, Paul Fahl doesn't have very many runners. This dog's got extremely good habits. Ran 25.78, leading most of the way, and the highly rated, in the betting at least, Winsome Tommy. Also for Patrick Ryan, he just blew the start, came from last to run second. He'll be winning very soon.
Lonnie Boy's back in the winners list with Lonnie Rocket, first up from a break in race 9.
Yes, and first up for a new trainer too, because David Croswell did have Lonnie Rocket, but he's now with Paul Hilly. Paul's got his team in spectacular form at the moment. Dominator Girl ran second, chasing home the record breaker, Sing the Song. And Lonnie Rocket was quite impressive leading all the way.
And Steelo's Magic, pretty impressive in the last four, Susan Giddes.
Yeah, well, Steelo's Magic's had a few trainer changes too. I think she's the third trainer to have it, and certainly the best of the dog's gone, 25.85 and won by 1.5 cricket pitches.
Now, you mentioned Silly Lily from Hobart. It won the first race last week.
At Hobart? Yes. As I said, it was a bit unfortunate because she won leading all the way and, you know, beat a good field. Then she led at Launceston on the Monday night and went amiss on the first turn and failed to finish. So let's hope all's well with her.
and dominate a girl again for the Lonnie boys. It was able to continue its great form in Hobart, taking out the second.
Yeah, well, that's she finally brought her northern form to Hobart. Now, she did run in a very pedestrian field, but she ran 26.08, which is electric, and she won by a very big space.
The Vets Medley Series was underway over the 5.99, and Classic Spence got the job done for Anthony Bullock.
Yes, he certainly did. I wasn't sure whether Classic Spence had run the trip. He was assisted by a couple of dogs up front on the home turn that seriously lost concentration. I think that's putting it nicely. But Classic Spence hit the line very, very strongly, and the fourth dog was very unlucky in that as well, Pedro's Vineyard.
And Anthony followed up in the next race with Hell Yeah Oliver scoring.
He did. Now, this dog does everything wrong in these races, and that's why he's got a very poor strike rate. But things went his way, including the favourite jumping in front and either going amiss or also losing concentration. The stewards sort of took each way bet on that one with Aston Fury. But Hell Yeah Oliver hit the line strongly and won. Yeah, he beat Part-Time Pete well.
And Good Odds Demon bounced out of box number one with recent form from the Meadows to win first up in the state for Shane Whitney.
Yes, Shane's just taken over this dog recently. He's got pretty good strike rate on the mainland. He ran it in a heat and final at Sandown over the middle distance. He ran second in both, came to Hobart, drew the red, was never in danger, although Alvin Benz took a lot of ground off him in the straight and was, you know, very brave second.
And Mumford's Son made it 4 from 10 on the track.
One of my favourite dogs, because every time he goes out of any box, any track, any distance, he'll give you 110%, and he won by 15 lengths, and he'll probably win again on Thursday night in the shorter heat.
And for the second week in a row, Varco blitzed them in the invitation.
Wow, did he blitz them. He was just awesome. Hellier Bolt had box one and got chopped off early by Rockfell and another runner and just never got into the race. Varco began equal leader, and it's hard to believe 2 weeks in a row, he was equal leader down the back straight and both weeks won by a dozen lengths. He is a real star.
And Rod Ransley, he's got a pretty smart one in Glitzy Bling.
He's got a bitch that does nothing wrong, can run good time on the bunny, and she did meet a weak field, but when they do meet ordinary opposition, you want to see them put them away, and that's exactly what she did.
Blue McCool, ultra-consistent, took out the ninth.
He's a bit like Mumford's Son, but not quite as good. He never, ever runs a bad race. He always begins, he always puts in, and he beat a very smart grade four field and will win again.
And great to see Pam Taylor in the winner's circle in race 10.
Oh, absolutely. Pam's former husband is no longer with us. Toby's one of the great characters of the game. This dog, Emperor's Bridge, is only having his second start. He was the only dog out of the litter from Barry Moss. And he won in such a fashion that you'd expect it to be repeated.
And Russell, what's his team flying at the moment? Islands Force taking out the first in Launceston.
Doesn't he have an amazing strike rate? Well, he does. But he has this amazing ability to bring new dogs through and win lots of races in a row with them. Islands Force was assisted by the favourite breaking down on the first turn, but I don't really think it affected the result because it ran 29.98 and she was right on the hammer when it happened. So, yeah, she's pretty smart.
Hell Yeah Razor had only won the one race in Launceston Pride on Monday night, but made it, doubled its victories.
Well, he should have still only won one race because Good Girl Sally was 6 lengths in front with 50 yards to go and decided she had other things on her mind and pulled up, and Hell Yeah Razor was the recipient, but he's pretty consistent over the short trips.
Rod Campbell brought Tizzagull back from Wentworth Park form down the track back in February, a couple of months off, and showed its true ability over the 278.
Gee, this has been a real journeyman, this bitch. She started life in Victoria. She spent a fair bit of time in Tassie, then went to New South Wales and raced with great success, you know, at Wentworth Park. She's a veteran in the twilight of her career now, but she jumps clearly to the front after a break in racing and held on to beat the very consistent Mighty Sirius.
And in race number four, it was Winkley Bent the Bolter home.
It was a six-dog invitation field, and there were about three different leaders in the race, and it was nothing to do with anyone playing up. It was just a highly competitive race. Four dogs went to the line, you know, almost within half a length, and Winkley Bent, which grows a leg at Launceston, won well.
And Ben Zima in the first leg of the quaddy. Been around the money of late without being able to break through, but certainly did that on Monday.
Look, I know he's been a real frustration for Robert Goulet, Ben Zima, because he's a very, very talented dog, but he has no idea how to come out of a box, and he didn't on Monday night either. But he did negotiate a better run through the field than normal, and he was a bit too strong on the line for Pioneer Mogul, which was brave.
And Keith Nichols, a winning Quinella in race six.
He did, not with the favoured one either, although they're both very smart. Rear Window. He's a hit-and-miss beginner with a big motor. He ran a brilliant 29.81 in beating his highly rated kennel mate, Her Highness, who is going to go on to a much more serious level. She's a good bit, that one.
Orange Boy, two in a row in Launceston, both from box eight.
Yes, ex-mixed stringer runner, and now with Murray Strickland. He was too powerful for the very consistent Blue McCool and his former kennel mate in Oscar Ralph. Orange Boy's got a very big motor.
And Get Up Alvin, been off the scene for a couple of weeks, but bounced back to winning form in race number eight.
Yeah, actually a bit more than a couple of weeks, and good effort by Gary Johnson because, A, he was resuming from injury, and B, he'd never shown anything at Launceston, but he was too good on Monday night for Helia Flicker, who ran pretty well, I might add.
And Mick Louth in the last, the despised outsider.
Yes, the Demolition Derby. Look, I'm not a fan of 278-metre races, I've got to say, and anyone who watched that race wouldn't be a fan of them either. They just go everywhere on the first turn, but they serve a purpose, and certainly served a purpose for Mick Louth, because Canuck, which had never fired a shot until Monday night, won by five lengths at monster odds.
All right, Greg. Well, thanks for that wrap of the week. Have you got a greyhound for us to follow?
Look, I think from the Country Oaks on Tuesday at Devonport, a bitch called High Sierra ran third, clearly out of a grade, and she won't win the Country Oaks final, but pretty soon she'll be winning her proper grade. She's, you know, not a bad little bitch.
Great. Thanks for your time this week, Greg.
Thank you.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
Vets Medley series continues tomorrow night in Hobart. To tip us the winners of the Quaddy Legs and also a best bet, the man who will join us every week is Rick Puccinelli. How are you, Rick?
Well, Shane.
What's the confidence level looking at Hobart for this week?
Yeah, quite high.
Okay, well, let's have a look at the first leg of the Quaddy. The Vets Medley series heats this week of the 461 after running 599 last week, and Classic Spence was pretty impressive last week.
Yeah, Shane, I actually thought he was sort of dog that, you know, looked like he was a leader type only type of greyhound, but to come from behind and to win, I thought his win was quite good. The time was nothing flash, but I think he's still got to be clear top pick. He might spear to the lead and be very hard to beat. One, Pedro's Vineyard's going very, very good at the moment. Alan Anderson's got this greyhound going good. And one little interesting factor is that it desperately wants an inside draw and it's come up with box one. It's my second pick. I think the only other main danger is number three, Helia Fiona. Now, she ran third in the heat last week behind Mumford Sun in very, very quick time. I think she might be the greyhound that posies close up and she'll be running home very, very strongly. And dog number eight, Rock Royalty. He's got no speed. He's a one-pace grinder. Box eight will suit him. I think they're the four winning hopes. Two, one, three and eight.
Now, in the second leg, Good Odds Demon. Very impressive last week.
Shane, you can't get more impressive than 34.50. He beat a dog called Alwyn Benz, and we know how quick he can run. Look, he'll go around at prohibitive odds. He looks the one. I actually watched on the internet his two runs at the Meadows and he speared out and he was very, very impressive in those two runs when he ran second. Oh, I think this is an absolute drop in class for him. I think he'll win. I think the main danger is number one, Sir Buddy. He might punch through and show a bit of speed early. I think they're clearly the two. If you want to go a bit wider, and I won't be, I'll be putting in number six, Son of Superman, and eight, Triathlon Queen, only because of the draws. I do think three will beat one, and then it's a long way back to six and eight.
Now, in the third leg, Pinto Pronto returning to racing.
Yeah, Shane, look, he hasn't raced since the 3rd of February. Look, he's a very, very handy dog. I will tell the listeners that he desperately needs box one. He's a desperate railer. Look, on face value, his form doesn't read anything flash, but, look, I'm going to put him in the mix. I just went with the box draw in number one, Rockville. Just thought from the draw he might be the one that might hold the lead and be very, very hard to beat. Phelan's a very, very consistent greyhound. He's come up with box five. And off my speed maps, I think he'll be up near the lead early, and that's a good thing for Phelan to be up near the lead. I think he's got a good chance. I think number seven, Pinto Pronto's got an outstanding chance if he can find the fence. And eight, Maury Barbar's going very, very good at the moment. One, five, seven and eight. And I'm leaving out a greyhound called Helier Missile. You know, he's going quite good at the moment also. So, you know, quite an open leg, I think, leg three.
And the final leg, well, Clubfoot comes up with a red box shooting for a winning hat-trick.
Yeah, Shane, he's going very, very good at the moment. He's got box one. Now, the interesting little part about this race is that he's got a slow beginner in two and he's got a desperate wide runner in three. So you'd really think that he'll just zoom through and he'll zoom to the lead, and I think that'll be the end of the penny sections. And look, he has broken the 26-second barrier in Hobart. So I'm clearly on top, number one, Clubfoot. Two, Lou James is going very, very good at the moment. He will give him a start. If there's 1 ounce of trouble, he's the greyhound that'll be swooping on them. Three, Fritzen, because he's got genuine early speed. And I put in number four, Hello Benny. He desperately needs the fence. He might miss the start and slot down there, and he's a good trifecta hope. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
So Rick's quaddie for Hobart. First leg, 2, 1, 3, 8. In the second leg, 3 to beat 1, then a gap to 6 and 8. In the third leg, 1, 5, 7, and 8. And in the last leg, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Where's your best for Hobart?
Shane, I'm going to race 2. There's a few early scratchings in race 3. I'll tell the listeners that 2, Part-Time Pete, 3, Our Silhouette, and 8, Aston Fury are all early scratchings. Now, when analysing the form here, I can't find any genuine early speed in the race, and I can't find any real depth in the race, and I kept coming back to a greyhound called Miss Somebody. She ran third last week. I thought her run was good behind Good Odds Demon. She's a winner there in 26.37. I just think she might be the greyhound to beat. Race 3, number 4, Miss Somebody.
Okay, and then we head to Launceston on Monday night, and Steve Hutt's got a big hope through the quaddie legs. He's got King Nitro in the first leg, number 6. It's won 2 of its last 3.
Yeah, Shane, I went back through my trial form, and I can't find a trial for him. He's very, very quick greyhound on his own, but just got this little theory about greyhounds not seeing the track at Launceston. It's a very tricky little track, and, you know, I've got to put him in the mix. But I went with number 5, Phelan. Thought he'd be hard to beat. He'll posse up. Remember, he is a Launceston Cup finalist. I think he's the way to go. 6, King Nitro. Look, he's got very, very good form. He looks a very, very speedy greyhound. He's got a good hope. I thought number 8, Gypsy Bling, had some chance. Even though I don't like box 8, she might spear across and try and lead. And number 1, To Be True. Now, it's the greyhound that will be storming home, be hard on the fence and won't leave the fence, and it's got some chance. 5, 6, 8, and 1.
Second leg, well, the big guns look drawn out wide, don't they?
They do, Shane. Look, Dominator Girl got beat in track record time at Devonport on Tuesday. Was no disgrace. She's won 4 from 7. She's got a 29.81 beside her name, and that was from box 8. She comes into box 7. I think she'll spear to the lead. I think she'll be very hard to beat. Thought 8, number 8, Teddy Tomboy was clear second pick. I thought Orange Boy was third pick. I think he'll find it a little bit harder than his last 2 wins in a Grade 5 and a Grade 4 in this event, but you've got to throw him in, and you've got to throw in number 2, Stylish Abby. Now, she's only had a few runs back from a bit of a break. I think she'll be fitter, she'll posse up, and she's strong at the finish. 7, 8, 6 and 2.
In the third leg, the second of Steve Hutt's runners, Red Nitro, with similar form, 2 wins from its last 3.
Yeah, Shane, again, can't find a trial for him on the track, but look, I just think that there's a good chance that he might spear to the lead. He's got good speed. He looks a very nice dog on the bunny, and his Devonport wins and his Hobart win was very, very good recently. I've got to put him on top. White Padre's got a chance off the red box. Now trained by Loretta McShane. Now, this greyhound will appreciate the red box and has got a chance. 3, Bailey's Comment. Shane, she will be a scratching because she goes rounds in the Oaks final on Tuesday. So we'll put in number 6 for 3rd, Moonlight Bell, and we might throw in number 8, Cosmic Eagle, for 4th pick. 2, 1, 6, and 8.
And in the final leg, well, Pedro's Vineyard has been very consistent greyhound.
Yeah, Shane, he's going very, very good at the moment. And again, I'm tipping on Thursday night, he's got a chance. And as I said, she desperately needs an inside draw. Think it might be the way to go. Fine Advice is going very good at the moment. Number 1, thought it might be 2nd pick. Thought number 8, Winkley Charlie, had a chance from the draw. And I thought Class Barbie had no luck when it ran 4th behind Ben Zima last week. Thought they were the 4 main winning hopes. 2, 1, 8, and 7.
Rick's quaddie for Launceston on Monday night. First leg, 5, 6, 8, and 1. The second leg, 7, 8, 6, and 2. Third leg, 2, 1, 6, and 8. In the last leg, 2, 1, 8, and 7. Where's your best for Launceston?
Shane, I'm very, very keen on race 10, number 4, Her Highness. Look, I thought she was nearly a good thing last week, and a stablemate rear window jumped in front. They recorded 29.81. On amended time, she went 29.90. She didn't shirk the issue. She's going very, very good. I think she's a very, very nice little bitch, and I think she'll spear straight to the lead and win, and I think she'll win by a big margin. I think she's the best of good things. Race 10, number 4, Her Highness.
Okay, we'll put that one down in text of colour. Now, Devonport on Tuesday, the Country Oaks and Country Derby. Let's have a look firstly at the Country Oaks. What do you think of the box draw, first of all?
The box draw's probably made it a little bit interesting. I'm a fan of Kawasaki Rose, but it's come up with box 6. Look, the speed's number 3, Hard as Nails, went 25.73 last week. I just think from the draw, you know, it's made it a little bit harder. Classic Nico's drawn box 8, it's got some chance. But, look, I think her class alone, on a run on last Tuesday, Kawasaki Rose is the grey underbeat in the Oaks.
Okay, and the Derby, well, this is a great field. The box draw is Slash's King number 1, 2 Barnes Bay, 3 Callaway Ernie, 4 Gemstone Jack, 5 Varco, 6 Great Taylors, 7 Buckle Up Barney, and number 8 Groovy Lane. Which way did you look here?
A lot of ways. I'm going to tip number 1, Slash's King. Thought his win last week was very, very good. He looks like he's got a genuine turn of high speed. He's drawn box 1. He'll punch through. Varco was most unlucky last week when it missed the start and then found all trouble and come through the field to run second. Now, the drawn probably ground in the race is Groovy Lane. Even though it's got box 8, number 7, Buckle Up Barney, takes a sharp left-hand turn straight to the fence, and Great Taylors wants the fence also. But I'm just not 100% certain if she's quite at an absolute top Groovy Lane. But just each way, I'm going to go with Slash's King at good each way odds.
Okay, number 1, Slash's King, and number 3, Hard as Nails in the Oaks into Splash is King, or Slash's King in the Derby. Thanks for those tips today, Rick. Hope you're on a winner, and we'll join you again next week.
Thanks, Shane.
The co-development manager of Tasmanian Thoroughbred Racing, Simon Stout, has been kind enough to join us on Tas Racing Talk. Great to have you on board, Simon.
Pleasure to be here, Shane.
You must be looking forward to Sunday's 8-event card in Hobart. It's a pretty important meeting for many of the runners.
It is indeed. It's the second leg of our autumn series, and we'll see our 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds go up against each other. Our stayers heading towards the St Ledger. It's an important meeting for them, and of course our fillies and mares, which we saw a great display from Aranzano and Izzy Bay Eva last time. They clash again in the mares race.
At this stage, the rail is in the true position for the entire circuit.
Yeah, we're back to the true. We're at 6 metres last meeting, so that meeting was conducted on a heavy 10. But we come back to fresh ground this meeting, back to the true, and currently the track's rated dead 5. With not a lot of rain on the radar, we anticipate that it'll stay with around that region, you know, dead to slow.
Now, for punters out there trying to find a winner, Tas Racing website's got some marvellous pre-race form guides available. Can you take us through some of those?
We have, Shane. Unlike a lot of jurisdictions, we have free replays on every race, so you can check your form, do your histories on the horses, and you can also utilise our Stridemaster data, which is all our sectional timing for every event that we've run actually for the past 2.5 years. And with that, we also have developed a number of pre-race products, including speed maps, which are based on our database, and also a fast finishes report. So if you want all the hard work taken out for you, you can go to the fast finishes report, and that analyses each race based on what recent form of the horses going around.
And what's the timeline to get those replays up, Simon?
Generally, our replays are up within sort of a 36-hour time frame. We're looking at trying to streamline that process a little bit at the moment, but as you can imagine, with racing all around the state, it takes a little bit of coordinating, getting the replays back in and then downloaded onto to the main website in Hobart.
So the Stride Master, the speed maps gauge at the horse's racing pattern, positions them in one of three categories, either forward, middle or back, and also pinpoints those fast finishes as well.
Yes, it does, yeah. And that's generally at the day following acceptances. So for Sunday's meeting, all that data will be up tomorrow on Thursday. Give you plenty of time to spend the early part of the weekend analysing your form and being all over it by the time Sunday rolls around for race day.
Now, you've had a busy day today at Tapita Park at Devonport. A couple of the early winners. Anything impress you there?
It's a glorious day, actually. The weather's been the most impressive thing of the meeting thus far. We've a fantastic day, but certainly Barry Campbell has continued his recent terrific form with another impressive maiden winner for Star Thoroughbreds, and that was in the form of Money Penny with Brendan McCool aboard.
Well, he's had a marvellous season, as he's done on many occasions, but really this year the two-year-olds has really been the key to his stable.
They have indeed, yeah. I think we worked out recently that Sunday's winner, Whiz Bang, was Barry's 10th winner for the season out of the 20 races we've conducted. So he's batting at 50%, and he certainly looks to have another stranglehold on this week with both Admiral and Calavera clashing in the autumn two-year-old on Sunday.
Well, Barry's had a few health issues of late, so it's great to see him back firing on all cylinders, and no doubt he'll be in the firing line again on Sunday. Thanks for your time today, Simon.
Pleasure, Shane.
Time now to have a look at this big program coming up in Hobart on Sunday. And the man joining us to tip us all the winners is the racing journalist with Taz Racing, Peter Staples. How are you, Pete?
I'm good, Shane. Looking forward to this Sunday's meeting at eight races and a Butte card. Of course, we've got the two-year-old Admiral trying to extend his winning sequence, and he's going to be hard to beat when he goes down there.
Barry Campbell's got a couple of smart ones in goes, hasn't he, through the day?
Yeah, he does. He looks like getting a race-to-race double with Admiral and Aranzano, but we'll get to those and talk more about them when we get to the races.
Okay, race number one on the card is the maiden Class 1 plate. It's over the 1,600.
Yeah, look, it's probably a pin job between a half a dozen of these. Look, I'd probably have Victory Vettel each way on top number nine in this. It's just got run down in the last stride, last start in Launceston. Just takes that sort of form into the race. It's got to be an each-way chance. It handles that week okay. So my numbers would be 9, 6, 5, 4 and 1. That's Porto, Master Alfred, don't give me Lip and D'Artel. But it's an open race.
Second event on the card is the two-year-old and up maiden plate. This one's over the 1,200.
Yeah, look, I black booked Foxy Minx in the Stuart Gandy stable after I watched its first up run. And actually, I put it in my selections last time. Come home, ran third. It was a nice run. I just think it'll be an improver. And I think we might get a bit of each-way value about Foxy Minx number 10 in race two on Sunday.
Third race on the program is the Tasmania Wakeful Club Autumn Two-Year-Old Classic. It's over the 1,200 and Admiral. Well, it clashes with a stablemate in this one.
Yeah, Calavera and Admiral, and realistically, if Admiral, all things being equal, like if we get a lot of rain between now and race day, Barry might not bring Admiral down because he just won't handle a very rain-affected track. But the forecast is pretty good for Sunday, so I've spoken to Barry Campbell at Sprayton today, and he's very confident that Admiral will go. He's 99.99% sure of going, so something really horrendous has to happen weather-wise for Admiral not to go down there, and he said he will beat Calavera, no problems, if all things being equal. GG's Golden Girl's in there, it's for Stuart Gandy, and, she certainly... she'll be the testing material, but I wouldn't think anything could beat Admiral if everything was right on the day.
Race number four, the Fillies and Mares Open Handicap, another of the sprints, 1,200. How are they going to beat the Barry Campbell runner here?
Well, Lizzie Baeva won the Bow Mistress. They get to 1,200 now, and that's more Lizzie Baeva's go. She was a terrific run last time they met. Aranzano led and pretty much toyed with him, and Lizzie Baeva did take a fair bit of ground off. But, they're both second up, and I think it's the Quinella, in best Quinella in Australia in this race, Aranzano Izzy Baeva. I'll have two on top over one. I like the way Aranzano is going about her business, and we'll see what happens. But I do think that they'll run 1-2 for sure in race four.
Now, race number five is the Super National Jockeys Trust Open Handicap over the 2,100. GG's Black Flash asked to carry the grandstand.
Yeah, 68 kilos. Hayley McCarthy will take 4 kilos off again, and that's she's had the one ride on the Flash, and she now knows him a bit better. But look, realistically, am I there yet? College is impressive last time he won, and I think this grey's are going places. And look, I think he'll cause another upset, And we've got to give 10 kilos, Blacklist gives 10 kilos to this horse. I tip him to win this, and I'm tipping him the grey to go on and win the St. Ledger on the 25th of May in Launceston over 2,400. So I'm sticking with the grey from David and Scott Brunton stable, MID, at number two.
Okay, so there's a long-term tip for us to write down. 25th of May, the St. Ledger. Am I there yet? Race number six on the card, 1,100-metre class one.
Yeah, it's an open race. Keith Horriban, Victorian, he spent a bit of time in Tassie a while back, and he's brought a small team over. He's got a couple in this, but not with any great form. But there's one there, number five, Onesie, Cheeking Keys trains it, and, oh, geez, it was impressive. And Dave Perez is just a big rap for this, and I think she'll just be unbeaten after this. Onesie, number five in race six for me in the class one.
Yeah, it was never out of second gear, was it?
Oh, I think it's got gears too, and it's that's the beauty of it, Shane. You know, they, you know, she's been up for a while, and you know, she, honestly, if you looked at her legs, you wouldn't buy her. And when she canters, their legs go in all directions in the front. She's just shocking, got shocking legs, but boy, can she gallop! And you know, it doesn't affect her in the galloping. So there you go. So you don't have to have perfect legs to be a good galloper.
Thank heavens for that. Now, race number seven, the Tas Racing Autumn 3-year-old handicap, 1,200.
I've seen your legs, I know what you mean.
It's a family show, Pete.
Yeah, look, this is a good race, this. We see Inawari and GG's Velvet resuming from a spell, numbers one and two, respectively. And down the bottom, Vigilante, number 11. Look, Siggy Carr's coming back, and she had a great association. She's going to ride on Sunday, and she came back, and she had an association with GG's Velvet and Inawari. She's on Velvet. And the way GG's Velvet performed first up, I think she might get a little bit of value out of the two of them. But they'll back plenty in this. But my money would be each way on Velvet, GG's Velvet number two.
And then in the last, the class four handicap over 1,100, hell of a streak in winning four.
Yeah, look, it is. And if it runs, I just think it'll just win. It's, you know, just if they decide to, there's a chance they might. There might be a race in the state. Look, I'm not quite sure, but if it runs, I think it's a lay down to zero. It's a one out in the quaddie if it runs.
So what about a best bet on the card, Pete? Hell of a Streak?
Well, look, I'm going away from Hell of a Streak, and I'm going for MID yet in race five. You'll get a bit of value with Black Flesh in with the big weight, but I just like MID yet. So race five, number two, MID yet, my best for the card.
Good on you. Thanks for your tips today, Pete.
Thanks, Shane.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk with Shane Yates.
And time for some harness racing action now. And the co-development manager for Harness Racing Tasmania joins us in Kevin Nielsen. How are you, Kev?
Yeah, very well. Thank you, Shane.
Now, what about this big move coming up for the Burnie Harness Racing Club on Friday night? The trials, very important ones for the club and Tasmanian harness racing.
As you're well aware, Shane, very proactive club at Burnie, massive in regard to community involvement, track small, but the work outlet, the work performance of the committee is astonishing, and they've gone to another level now with that club, and through a combined arrangement with the state government, federal government, local government, and considerable funds from themselves, they have now got lights at that venue. But it's important to note that the lights are there for cricket, football, and any sports that can utilise them in the Burnie municipality. So it's a great story for the club, and subject to a satisfactory trial session this Friday night, Friday the 9th of May, we can look forward to a night harness racing meeting at the Burnie Showgrounds, the Wivenhoe Showgrounds at Burnie, Friday the 16th of May, starting at about 6:30.
Well, everyone looking forward to that, no doubt. And the Bullock Consulting Young Bloods Challenge is well and truly underway.
14th year that Bullock Consulting have been involved with this series, and it's probably the key development series for young drivers in Tasmania. We're certainly proud of the fact that we have another series for our concession drivers and also put on one race every month for concession drivers only, where the prize money is a little bit higher to try and encourage owners to participate in that race. But, yeah, this year's series, Shane, we've had four heats conducted, and the fifth and final heat will be conducted at Launceston on Sunday. And close at the top, Alex Ashwood from Tasmania, but now based in Victoria and driving in Victoria, leads on 40 points, just ahead of last year's winners, Matthew Howlett. And Matthew, of course, when he won the series last year, was only 16 years and 7 months of age to become the youngest winner in the long history of the Young Driver Series in Tasmania. and he's looking to go back-to-back this year. He's on 38 points, and third is the young man who represented Tasmania at the Australasian Young Drivers' Championship and finished second in that series, winning three of the 10 heats, and that's Dylan Ford. So, again, it's at the top, Alex Ashwood with 40, second, Matthew Howlett with 38, and third, Dylan Ford with 34. And we look forward to an exciting fifth heat at Launceston on Sunday. It's race four. And, yeah, these drivers can show their stuff, and they've proven in the past that drivers that compete in this series certainly do go on and certainly participate well in Tasmania in many instances, and James Rattray is an example, go much further.
Well, in heat number four, Kev, Jane Grant was sent out the favourite. What a drive by Alex Ashwood taking off at the bell.
Oh, he certainly did drive that mare well. She's a three-year-old filly. She'd won a previous two starts, but he summed that situation up beautifully. She's a filly with a bit of potential. She's bred by the Woods is up at Fingal, and you talk about names like Alan Grant going back to the 90s. They were involved in the breeding of that horse, and I know the Grant theme has come down through all their horses, and I'm sure that Jane Grant is another one from that long line of successful horses for the Woods, but he's a top driver, Alex. He shows that every week in Victoria, and along with Josh Duggan, two Tasmanians, we're really proud of what they're doing over there, and they're certainly showing Australian harness racing followers that they're drivers of the future.
And another exciting event coming up, the Harness Hall of Fame dinner on Friday the 30th of May at the Tullyrace Centre in Launceston.
Shane, this is effectively going to be a history of Tasmanian harness racing, and it's a most exciting event for Tas Racing, who are organising the Harness Racing Hall of Fame. It's great credit to Peter Cooley. He is the icon of history in Tasmanian harness racing. He spent a lot of time with this dinner. And, it's probably got a special significance too for Victoria in that, and I'm not letting any secrets out here, one of the people will be inducted will be Edgar Tatlow, obviously, that iconic influence in Australian harness racing, often described as the single biggest influence in Australasian harness racing. And when you read through the CV, Shane, I don't think you can deny it. Just a couple of quick things about him. Born in Circle Head in 1889. Coach company the family had. In fact, I remember when I first went to Year 7 in Burnie, I travelled on Tatlow's coaches, and they were a...
Don't tell me he was driving, Kev.
Look, the horses and cart had gone by that stage. They were actually buses. But the name goes back to the Tatlow company, and that was in the mid-60s when I was in Grade 7. And Edgar Tatlow, in 1927, purchased a horse by the name of Globe Derby. That male line produced 13 of the Dominion winners. Edgar relocated to Victoria in 1949 when night trotting was first introduced there. But his CV basically shows that from 1937 to basically 1973, his stallions dominated Australasian harness racing, winning many premierships, and they were, of course, Raider, Globe Derby, Arkin, and also Meadow Van. So, in summary, Shane, it will be a great night where nine trainer drivers, nine horses, nine from the breeding sector, and nine from the associates sector. That could be media, could be long-term club officials, will be inducted into the inaugural Tas Racing Hall of Fame. So that'll be a big function Friday the 30th of May at the Tullyrace Centre in Launceston.
And of course, it's been a wonderful season for Tasmania with the performances on the mainland of Bowtide and in more recent times, the brilliant Birinya.
It's a great advertisement, Tasmanian breeding, Shane. I think it was back in about 2009, we made a conscious decision to do as much as we could for the breeding industry. Things such as foal registrations went no cost at all to register foals, no cost at all to be involved in the sire stakes series, and a number of incentives put in place to encourage breeding, including the breeder's coupon, where any earnings that a 2 or 3 year old gets, another 10% is added to that as a breeding incentive. So you send your mare to stud, you get that incentive. A horse like Resurgent Spirit last year won $60,000. So here's breeder Roger and Kay Whitmore, they had $6,000 to use this year towards breeding, and they certainly did use it going to good stallions. But, yeah, look, I think that's got something to do with where we're at the moment. Although, having said that, Birinya, of course, was purchased by Lyndon and Gail Menigan when she was in foal. Sorry, the mother of Birinya, Lombo Anastasia, was purchased by Lyndon and Gail in foal with Birinya. And I think the link there is they could see a future for breeding in Tasmania. And, wow, weren't they on the mark with this filly? After they purchased the mare, a half-brother Lombo Navigator ran third in the 2012 Inter Dominion. So So Tasmania's certainly got some outstanding bloodlines there for the continued breeding for the Menigan family, Lynn and Garland. Look at Bowtide and Brynja, four Group 1s. We have to go back to July 2008 to August 2010 to get that sort of number of Group 1s, where Villa Jim, She's Riley Mac, Deanna Troy won, I think, six between them in that period. A lot of them were 2 and 3 year old races for She's Riley Mac and also Villa Jim, but we had, I think, six Group 1s in that period. We had four in the space of only 6 months recently. So it's a massive time for Tasmanian breeding and racing.
Certainly is. Let's hope that trend can continue, Kev, and also your availability on the show. We look forward to your company again next week.
Thank you, Shane.
And the man that steered Brynja to victory in the Victorian Oaks joins us in Rowan Hilliard. How are you, Rowan?
Yeah, good, thanks, Shane.
Well, congratulations on what must be a memorable night for you at Milton last week.
Yeah, no, thanks very much. Yeah, she had a good run in transit and got the job done.
Now, she's had a marvellous career. She's had the 12 starts in total for 8 wins and a couple of placings, and you've driven her to all those victories, and she's amassed $158,000 in prize money. At what stage did you realise that you had a potential champion on your hands?
Probably not till last week. Always knew she was good, and whether she was good enough to beat the top line fillies, we didn't know, but obviously she proved last week that she is.
Well, obviously, her trainer, Dick Ees, is no stranger to a good horse, having had the Canungra Koala, who took out the New South Wales Oaks, going back quite a number of years now. But you've been involved with four winners now in the Tasmanian Oaks, because she took that title as well. How do you compare her with the likes of She's Riley Mac, High Flying Ruler and Ticket Flow?
Oh, Brynja's got a fair bit on those three fillies. Obviously, She's Riley Mac, she won a Group 1 herself, but Brynja's still a fair bit better horse than her. She can do it at both ends of the race and still finish off.
Now, in between winning the Tasmanian Oaks, which was a great effort, toppling Sandy Kay at the time, that was back in the middle of March, then you decided, along with Dick, to take her to Victoria. She didn't travel well on the way over in the heats of the Oaks.
No, that's true. She went over on the truck by herself. She didn't have any company and apparently played up big time on the boat. So I think when Dick got her off the boat, she was dehydrated and was off her feet for a couple of days. So whatever she'd done in the heat, she was always going to improve for the final.
Did you have any concerns that she'd still be able to qualify?
Oh, we did. Yeah, we did, for sure. So we drove her a bit more conservative than what we usually do. But we were still wrapped in a run.
And you would have been very happy when you came up with the draw inside the second line behind Mindari Pretty.
Yeah, couldn't believe it, really. Actually, we were talking about after the heat run, how good a heat run it was, that, you know, if we drew well, we'd be a chance in the final. And I said, well, I wouldn't mind drawing one and Mindari P drawing two, but when you draw 1 and 8, it makes no difference.
And at what stage in the race did you feel as if you were really a winning chance?
Yeah, probably about the 500. Nike Franco was under a bit of pressure, and I always thought in the back of my mind that we could beat the leader. So, yeah, about the 500, I reckon.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to the concluding stages of the Victorian Oaks.
Off the back straight, the leader is still Mindari Pretty. Nike Franco's within 2 metres. Barinha's climbing all over them. And then came out Petite Sir as they hit off the back. Third quarter was 28. It's on the home turn. Mindari Pretty, Nike Franco. Barinha looks to be bolting the Tasmanian filly. Turning Mindari Pretty, Nike Franco. Barinha's about to get the run. Mindari Pretty, Nike Franco. Now Barinha comes through. The Tasmanian filly. They've got another star, Tasmania, and this time it's a filly called Barinha. Barinha wins the Oaks. Pete's Mindari Pretty flashing through. Berasari made up really good ground, followed by Nike Franco weakening out of it late.
Well, Dan was right on the money, saying that she was bolting coming to the home corner. At what stage were you getting itchy fingers waiting for that run to come?
Yeah, a fair way into the straight, because that sprint lane doesn't sort of come up for about 60 or 70 metres, so you're sort of waiting to get there, but once you got there, she got the job done.
Okay, what do you see now as the plans? You've got the Victorian Sires, the Breeders' Crown Series coming up, and also the possibility of a trip to New Zealand.
Yeah, apparently she'd been invited to the Jewels, which is on in 3 weeks' time. I don't think the connections have committed yet, but that's a definite possibility at this stage.
All right, Rowan, well, congratulations and all the best with your continued association with the brilliant Barinha.
Thanks, Shane.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
Big Harness Racing program coming up in Launceston on Sunday night. To have a look at the program is our form analyst, Jamie Cockshutt. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, not too bad, Shane.
Now, what do you think of the program first up?
It's a handy program, a bit odd on numbers, but it's just slow days this time of the year.
Okay, well, let's have a look at the first. It's the CO for the four-year-olds and older.
Brayview Sniper looks the one to beat here. He's not over blessed with a lot of gate speed, but he might be able to sit parked and dictate the race from the breeze. Kind of Grey gets a nice run from the pole. And Totmot, Samson and Cardinal Eddie will fight out third place.
Okay, so we're looking at two there, with the danger being number one in the second. The Happy Mother's Day Pace, don't forget that, on Sunday. It's for the 3CO to 3C1 for the three-year-olds. Tasbred bonus if eligible. Race number two.
There's a very nice filly I like in this race called Miley Rose. She's got good form around the star filly of Tasmania, Birinya. She was very good first up at Devonport, never had a lot of luck. And from barrier three tonight, she gets the advantage over her main rivals and should dictate the race and win nicely. Prisoner was very impressive first up in a four-horse field at Hobart last week, but we'll find it a lot harder out from seven. But here's the danger, along with Robin Schaboski, who'll get a good running transit. And Nimni Sabingis is one at huge odds that can run a place if it does everything right.
So three to beat seven primarily in race number two. Nola Mayhem goes around in the third.
Yeah, Nola Mayhem's very well placed in this race. Rowland's coming off the winning drive in the Victoria Axe on Birinya last week, so his confidence is high and she should just be too classy for these. Modern Scooter looks a leader and will give plenty of cheek. And another Jasper's Racing will and has a chance at odds. But Nola Mayhem looks, you know, the best bet of the night.
Heat number five of the Bullet Consulting Youngbloods is race number four. Chopsticks Boris, a last start winner.
Yeah, he won well last Sunday night at Hobart. Driven a treat by Rowan Hillier again. Josh way in class in this race. He just looks over the line. Paris Express gets a good run through. Was very good at Hobart after missing away and loomed up at the top of the straight. We just weakened the last 100. And Chirac's drawn inside the back row. Has any luck whatsoever. Can make a race of it, has got plenty of ability on his night.
Race number five on the card is the Maxfield Drilling Golden Mile over the 1680. Who's going to lead this one?
Very hard, Shane, to be honest. There's a bit of gate speed on the front line. Call Marshall holds the key over the mile. He might be able to find the top, but he should be able to find the depth seat. And he should be able to try and dictate the race from there. The main danger is he's bigger of a better Max. He was very good last week after copping plenty of pressure in front, but he was driven a lot more quieter tonight and will hit the line strongly. And the mare later on, she should get a good running transit and she'll hit the line strongly as well. But Modern Ruler is a bit of a smoky. If he happened to find the lead, he would give plenty of cheek at good each way odds.
So call the Marshall, the on-top selection there in race number five. The claimer is race six.
Yeah, Spot Nine's dropping back from running in all the top three for races of late, so he looks very well suited in this race. He should push forward mid-race, find the breeze, and whatever beats him should win. Mill Park Maestro was very good winning last week at Hobart, running a mile of 159 over the 2090, which was a huge improvement on recent form. With a repeat run, will be a big danger. Drifting West drops back to claiming class, so expect a bit of improvement there, and that rounds out the winning chances.
Race number seven, which is the third leg of the quaddie, looks a race in two, doesn't it, between Class Above Lombo and Mellow Lynn?
Sure does, Shane. The Barry Drill holds the key. Class Above Lombo finds the top, which he should, drawing inside Mellow Lynn. He's the one to beat. Mellow Lynn can sit park and beat him, but his task is going to be a lot harder. Dave's Delight had a super season this season for Barry Rattray, and if he got the right run, camped on the back of Mellow Lynn, he could poses a bit of a danger down the straight. And Deliver the Goods is going to get the soft running behind him. Can't see her winning, but she's one for the exotics.
And the final leg of the quaddie, it's only a small field, but there's a couple of chances in the last.
Yeah, there sure is. It was good to see Laconic Jermaine win last week at Devonport. As we all know, he showed heaps of promise as a young horse, but his three-year-old season never had the best of luck. He's drawn wide tonight, so it's going to be a bit harder, but if he's anywhere near right, he should win. Estevao had every chance at Hobart last week when lead.
got away with pretty easy sectionals and got run over late. So he'd have to improve to beat Laconic Jermaine. The same about Rampal Stewartskin. He got away with very slow sectionals and was able to win narrowly. Olin Disco's the one. She's a very good mare, but this season she struggled with a few injuries. So if Christian can get her over them injuries, she'd have to be a chance on her best form. Laconic Jermaine looks the one in the last show.
What about a couple of best bets for us on the program, Jamie? Where are we looking?
Well, the best bet probably at odds would be Miley Rose. I think you're going to get $3, Miley Rose. There's a couple of shorties later on in the night, which are going to go around pretty short, but Miley Rose looks the best. And one at odds is Paris Express against Top Six Boris. Top Six Boris is going to be $1.50. Paris Express, you might get $10, $12. And on his last run, she can be very hard to beat.
And another exciting program coming up in Hobart on Monday night. It's the Cadbury Sweepstakes Heat Night.
Yeah, it's good to see you this season with the Cadbury Sweepstakes. I think there's 33 runners going around in the two heats for the fillies and the colts and geldings, which is the highest amount for the last 7 or 8 years. So there'll be some good racing. The first heat is the colts and geldings, which is a cracker of a heat. The boom 2-year-old of Tasmania's Jerry's Jet. He's all class. He's drawn the pole. I can't see him being beating, but there are a couple of smart ones in the race. No Spring Secrets has been very impressive in his two runs to date. He's going to have to sit parked. So, Mr. Lennox has got plenty of ability, but his mouth's let him down on most occasions. But he's drawn to follow out Jerry's Jet. And if he's on his best behaviour and can get out late, he will run a race. And Fiocchi's rounds out the winning chances in the first heat of the Colts and Geldings. Now we move on to the first heat of the fillies. Safety Girl is a nice filly from the Paul Ashwood stable who's won a couple of races, and she's the one to beat. There's a handy first starter called from the retro camp called Fawazi. So you've got to respect them because Barry's horses are flying at the moment. Househorn is another one from the retro camp that's going to be very hard to beat. And there's a horse called Safari Sunrise down the bottom, which was huge on debut. Missed a start 20, 30 metres and hit the line strongly. Running third, beating about 5 metres. So keep an eye on Safari Sunrise at odds. The second heat of the Colts and Geldings is the weaker of the two heats. And Barry Retro holds the key again. He's got Instant Dueler Artist, which is very good at Devonport. Will be better suited to Hobart and there's more spacious track. So expect him to be very hard to beat from the pole. 14, they disappointed last week at Devonport. So we'll pay to give another chance. Is that you, Jimmy? Appreciated the drop in class last Sunday night when it was a good winner, when he hit the line strongly, so he'd have to be a chance. And Butchie's Jet won the race at Devonport with Instant Dueler Artist and 14-0 in, so he's got to be respected despite drawing wide. The last seat of the fillies are mares. The first starters hold the key in this race. Fusien is a half-sister to Tassie Star Horse Bow Tide. Drawn the pole, so it has to be kept very, very safe. Grace Campbell is another first starter from the Wayne Campbell barn, who is a half-sister to his star performer, Riverboat Jasper. So he's got to be kept safe as well. And Kyle Leisha, the other runner from the retro camp, rounds out the winning chances in the last heat of the fillies division. All in all, it's going to be a good race, but Jerry's Jet looks the one to beat in the first heat. And probably Instant Dueler Artist looks a good bet in the second heat at Colts and Geldings.
Well, thanks for your insight into the upcoming harness racing meetings for the week, Jamie. And for all Jamie's tips, just go to tasracing.com.au and look under the form analysis for harness racing for this week. Every week on the show, we'll be asking a Tassie racing quiz question. Simply enter your answer every week to win the ultimate punter's experience in Tasmania. The prize includes airfares, accommodation, car hire, club dining at a thoroughbred harness and greyhound meeting, along with expert tips from your trip host. This is all thanks to our accommodation partners, Rest Point and Country Club Tasmania. Now, this week's question, it's a harness racing question. How many Tasmanian Oaks winners has Rowan Hillier driven in his career? All you need to do is go to tasracing.com.au, click on the Tas Racing Talk icon, register, and then over the next 3 months, answer as many questions correctly as possible, and the winner at the end of the 3 months will win the ultimate punter's experience in Tasmania. Repeating the question, how many Tasmanian Oaks winners has Rowan Hillier driven in his career? Thanks for your company today on Tas Racing Talk. We'll catch you again next week.
Tas Racing Talk, live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival.
on digital radio across Melbourne, streaming on your computer, tablet and smartphone, and later on podcast at rsn.net.au and tasracing.com.au.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.